Well, believe it or not, summer is just around the corner, and that means a lot of us will be heading outside. And obviously, that's cause for celebration, but there are tiny creatures out there looking to ruin our fun. Ticks.
2013 saw big tick populations around the state. What does this year have in store for us? Well, joining us now in the studio is Susan Paskowitz. She's professor of entomology at UW-Madison and kind of the go-to person for tick-related issues in the state. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we had a cold winter. That's not news to anyone. And I imagine a lot of people are hoping you'll tell them that the cold winter wiped out the ticks. It's not true, is
I
it?
wish that were the case. I really do. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that deer ticks in Wisconsin are probably pretty adapted to these kinds of cold winters. And so we had a lot of snow cover. I'm sure they're like nestled up under the snow and in the first couple inches of the leaf litter in the soil and fairly well protected. We hadn't had a winter like this since the 1980s, I think, early 1980s. So I did go back through the records to see what I could figure out, whether we could get any clues from that. And there really wasn't anything there. So I'm afraid we will see deer ticks this year. And in fact, we have already seen them. We've been out in our own area as early as the second week in April, and we were collecting, and we picked up 50 ticks in just a small area here in Madison. So.
And it seemed like we were hearing that tick populations were booming last year. What was behind that? And do we have reason to believe it could happen again?
Last year, I actually predicted it would be a really low tick year because 2012 was such a dry year. You know, early on things got going and we thought it was going to be bad, but then it dried out and the ticks really for us were very low that year. And I predicted that because they were low that year, that would have killed a bunch of them and so it would suppress the population in 2013. But that's not what we saw actually. Every single place that we visit in Wisconsin, and we have now about 10 to 15 different sites that we go to every year. All but one of those, there were 2 to 7 times as many ticks last year as there had been the year before. So I'm afraid it was a boom year then, and I don't know what that's going to mean yet for this year.
Well, we talk about this in large part because of the risk of disease, Lyme disease and others. What kind of things do we worry about with our Wisconsin ticks?
A couple of things. You know, we worry that the ticks actually are moving into new areas where people and the health practitioners are actually maybe not as aware. Of course, people who live in northwestern Wisconsin have known about Lyme risk for a really long time. They've been dealing with it since the 1980s. But we've done a number of surveys to look at the distribution in the state. Our most recent one was about 5 years ago. And when we compare where ticks were then with where they were back in the early 80s, it's a big difference. Now, much of the southern and eastern part of the state, where before we had a hard time finding them, if you have a wooded area, it's highly likely that they've finally managed to invade those areas. So we worry about the ticks being in new areas. Another thing that we're seeing is as they're moving into the new areas, of course, over time, the infection rates in the ticks have been going up. And so where, you know, in the middle 1990s, maybe I was seeing 8 to 12% of ticks were infected. Now it's more like 20, 25%, all the way up to as many as 50 to 75% of the adults. So very high rates of infection for Lyme disease in those arthropods.
I remember in the last couple of years seeing national maps showing high Lyme disease areas, and I'm looking at these bright spots in the Northeast and a bright spot in Wisconsin. And why is Wisconsin such a Lyme disease area?
Right. Why are we a hot spot? That's an excellent question, right? I think we have this excellent combination of the kinds of things that make these ticks happy. So they really like forests, right? They love forests. They require very high humidity to stay happy. They don't like open, sunny, agricultural kind of areas are not good. So you can imagine why Illinois and, you know, a lot of Iowa and other parts of the Midwest probably are not as good just in general as habitat. And then we have a lot of deer here, and deer are an important source of blood for the adult deer ticks, right? The nickname is deer tick, so it's obvious that that's one of the sources that they use in order to get blood and to make eggs. And we have lots of deer, so that probably contributes as well to a very large population here.
I wanted to talk briefly about a new kid on the block, this Lone Star tick. What can you tell us about this little guy?
Lone Star tick is really fascinating. I got interested in it a couple years ago because one of my colleagues who works at the Department of Public Health here in Madison mentioned that she had started hearing about patients who were getting a disease that's associated with the Lone Star tick. And this is a kind of Ehrlichiosis, a new bacterial disease for us. And so a colleague of mine in entomology, Phil Pelletieri, who many of your listeners probably know about,
yeah,
and I put our heads together and we started collecting the records. Every time somebody from the public would talk to us or bring us a Lone Star tick, we began to map it. And interestingly, the media got wind of this last year, and so they were able to get the story out a little more broadly for me, and I got a lot of people submitting ticks. So Lone Star ticks came in last year. We had at least 14 confirmed records. I already have 3 confirmed records from this year. I was really hoping the winter was going to kill them, but it doesn't look like it. So we're seeing more. It's still quite a rare tick, but if anyone out there sees one, I'd be really interested in receiving that specimen.
Well, with our more common ticks, are there strategies that might help reduce the tick population, or at least the disease population in those ticks?
You know, there are a number of things that scientists are testing right now to try to do that. You can certainly change your yard in some ways that make it less likely to be good habitat for the tick. The more open it is, I mean, that's a good thing. Put your children's play equipment right in the middle of a open grassy area rather than in the woods. That will help. We're also testing some methods right now that will target the small mammals and primarily the mice that are very important as reservoirs for the tick, for the Lyme disease, and also as host for the ticks. And so what you do here is you take some cotton balls, you treat it with an insecticide, the mice use it to make a nest out of, and then they essentially get a dose of insecticide on their fur, which then kills any ticks that attach to those mice. So we're going to test that this year and see if that's something that maybe some homeowners could use, at least on a small scale.
Now, when we go out for that walk in the woods, what are the best ways to not pick up a tick?
The best way is to stay in the middle of a hard-packed trail and not go off to the sides and brush up against the vegetation, because a lot of times the ticks are kind of lurking there on the grass or on the small shrubs and waiting for you to pass by, and then they'll grab onto you. Another thing that we always do when my team and I go out is we do tuck our pants into our socks, or else we wear rubber knee boots. And that, you know, when it's hot, is kind of a difficult thing to do, but that can help to protect as well, especially if you're out there like clearing brush or something. That could be a really good measure that you might want to take.
And if we spot a tick on ourselves and we're doing our tick checks when we come in from the woods, what are you supposed to do then?
Well, you should remove the tick as quickly as possible, right? So you want to get some forceps or tweezers, get close down to where the tick is actually embedded on your skin, and then exert gentle backward pressure. So you don't want to rip it out too fast, because you don't want to leave the mouth parts in your skin, and you also don't want to force the contents of the tick's guts into your system. So you want to get the tick out. And then in Wisconsin, actually, if that tick had been on you for at least 36 hours, you should now go to your doctor and get a prophylactic treatment. You should get antibiotic kind of to protect yourself, regardless of whether you have symptoms or not.
We'll leave it with that advice. Susan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Susan Paskowitz has been with us. She's a professor of entomology at UW-Madison.